Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all, with the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed. Staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the best posture for the county and city would be to say, this is what we want, and here's how much money we have. And then let the market come say, well, you know, because one bidder could come back and say, hey, we only need $100 million. And the other one could say 110. The other one could say, we won't make you pay for the first 10 years, or we'll cover the note for this long. I mean, there's so many intricacies of what the total partnership is that I think just saying, here's how much money we have, and here is what we want, and then let the creativity of these large groups that do this all over the world, all over the country for a living, let them come and say. And then, you know what, even in a worst case scenario, if we're not happy with anything that comes back, well, then at least we didn't waste a whole lot of time and money designing something that wasn't going to work financially.
Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday talking during his press conference about the joint meeting with the city, the council, and him on the Bay Center, the future of that property. Of course, we've talked extensively about this, and basically said, look, what we have is this much money. And his proposal is, let's just go out and say, here's how much money we're willing to spend. Here's, generally speaking, the big, bold strokes, outlines of what we want. Who's in? And then see what kind of response we get. Don't go and figure out all the details first and then push yourself all the way down a path that might turn out to be unproductive because nobody wants to build that, or it's not feasible for the money to build that. Go out and see what you get back. And if you get a bunch of interest, you can go from there. You know, if a lot of people want to date you, cool. If one person, well, maybe cool. And if nobody does, do something else.
What we know is that the city has approval, of course, on a large renovation and or a new facility on that property. That's what it says. Does that require that the county run every detail by the city when it goes to RFP?
Right.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know, but I'm not a lawyer. You'd have to ask the lawyers.
This is answering the question about what about that legal status, given that the city owns the property on which the Bay Center sits, but the Bay Center itself belongs to the county. And, what had always been thought was this is a county thing to figure out, particularly the renovations, because they own that building. But what the mayor, what we kind of discovered in the last few months is that if you actually read the letter of the lease, that the city also has sign-off power on this. And, how much leverage is the city going to exert on the county to try to get what they want, either in the renovations or in an additional facility like the athletic flex space kind of thing that they've been talking about? And the mayor's like, I don't know how much power we really have here, but we're not really trying to use that. We're not. The effort here is not to try to insert ourselves into this process and tell the county what they can do with the buildings that they're paying for that they're going to own. The point is to try to get something done.
There is no way I can't speak for the council. I can speak for the administration. We are not here to be an impediment on this project. And I think all of us prove that. I think the goal is that we all work together. And I think it would make sense for us to have some say in it, in the fact that we know the end result is going to be some design that needs to be approved by the city. So why not? Let's just work together now. And that's better for the citizens and better for the community. And we want to be respectful of what everybody's authority is.
And he's like, I'm just here to help get this thing moving along, which I think has already been done pretty effectively. And, the fact that we have consensus among 5 county commissioners and 7 city council and 1 mayor, and, everybody seems to generally be working off of the same script with a little bit of dissent from like Lumen May and, Jen Brer and Allison Patton kind of raised some questions. And, even Lumen was like, well, let's do something. This makes sense.
But I go back to what I've been telling you guys for months. I feel like the administration's role in this is to be the best facilitator slash middleman mediator. I mean, the best we can, that our net goal is to help move this project forward.
I'm just here to help us find some dates. Just help get something going on, because we've been talking about this and dithering about it for forever. There was another kind of interesting, smallish moment in the press conference yesterday, because the agenda for Thursday is so light. I mean, it's, you know, it's tiny. It's like, the meeting the other day was, it was like 7 minutes, 10 minutes. I mean, so short. Anyway, very, very short. But there's going to be, I think, a second reading for the cardboard ordinance. And the mayor was at pains yesterday to explain that this is not something he is doing. This is not an agenda item that he is bringing, even though ultimately his sanitation department would be executing the charge of $15 to pick up extra surplus cardboard on people's property, that it was Councilman Charles Baer who was bringing this item.
I just want to clarity. It's a minor issue on the council agenda. I wasn't here on the first reading for the cardboard ordinance because that could have a potential impact on folks' bills. That is not something that we have brought forward at the administration. This was brought forward by Councilman Baer. And I believe what would be proposed is that the normal free opportunity for flattened cardboard to be picked up, and part of the value of living in the city is that we have some free yard waste pickup, some free cardboard pickup. So this could have a potential negative cost. I think it's $15 is what it would be now for a special pickup.
And he just wants people to know that, you know, if you get a charge on your bill, he's not the one who authorizes. I'll come back to this in just a second. We got PJ sitting in for John Pickens this morning. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grows Escambia County's tax base. Taking a look at the big board here, we have NES Pensacola's front gate backed up to Vancouver Street now. And scrolling over to Milton, we have a vehicle crash, US 90 at Lorry Lane in Milton. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks so much, PJ. Back to the mayor yesterday and the cardboard ordinance and where it all came from originally. Again, not from the mayor.
I'm a little more data-driven. I mean, I think you'll have to ask Councilman Baer. I think this genesis was a disagreement with his neighbor is why this is here.
What? I regret that I do not know the detail here. I am going to be curious to find out, though. Like, did his neighbor put too many cardboard boxes out and didn't call for the, you know, pickup, and then they got blown into his yard? And the worry here is that if people are doing a thing for free, will they treat it like for free? Like the recycling, you know, it's kind of a similar argument, right? You make people pay for the recycling and make sure they do recycling well, and now our contamination rate is incredibly low in the city. So maybe that's the genesis here of Charles Baer's proposal is, I had cardboard boxes blown in my yard and now I'm into an ordinance. I mean, there are probably pettier things in the world, and there are probably things that are, less petty. I mean, you know, it's just sometimes you have to experience a problem for you to make legislation about it, right?
When we look at the data, we only get about 30 or 35 requests a month for this service. So 30 or 35 requests a month at $15 is $525 a month. We're not against it, and that is clear in the language. The sanitation was asked what the positive or negative impact was, and we ultimately said there's really none. But I just want to make perfectly clear in human terms that this is not a request coming from the administration. I think this would be not in the top 100 of things that I would be requesting at sanitation.
If you asked me to make a list of the big things I want to accomplish in sanitation, charging people for cardboard because of missed pickups or low enthusiasm because you don't have to pay for it is item number 158 on a list of things I do not care about.
If this is to pass in second reading, and there's someone sees $15 on their bill, they're going to assume that came from the administration. So that's up to them. The ordinances are run by a city council, and you'll have to ask Charles Baer's details on that.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to remember if much of this had been discussed at all, and I didn't. I remember it coming up, but I don't remember getting many of the details. And also thinking at the time, like, yeah, well, who cares? I mean, this is such a small thing. I do think it's funny if it did originate from a neighbor dispute like that. But like I said, I mean, if you experience a problem and then you think, well, why does that problem happen? Well, this is why we can fix that. You know, I kind of get that too.
It is a minor issue on the agenda, but I wanted to make perfectly clear to all of our citizens that this is, if this remained a free service, Yes, there's more boxes nowadays with Amazon and everything else, but if this remained a free service, I think that's part of the service of living in the city. And if the council wishes to start charging for it, then that's perfectly fine, too. That's ultimately in their hands.
All right. So takeaway, yes, it is second reading. And so if you want to get rid of that big pile of cardboard boxes you've been waiting to get rid of in the city of Pensacola, and you don't have to pay $15 to do it, call soon. I don't know when this would go into effect. I'd have to actually read the ordinance to see, but it will go into effect sometime after they pass it, which I'm assuming that they will pass it on Thursday night. 619 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. And by that, I mean like almost new. Not new. Okay, it might have a lingering new car smell, might have none. It's been owned probably by one person, possibly by two. I know when we bought our Honda Odyssey there, it had 12,000 miles on it. It had been owned by one person on a year lease, and it was actually Frontier acquired it in Orlando. And one of the reasons we bought it is because it was previously a Honda pre-owned certified, which means it's, you know, kind of like we know it's in really good condition. The person there, it had a lease. They returned it to the dealership. The dealership couldn't sell it in 90 days. They put it on the auction block, and Frontier went down there from Pensacola, bought a van, and we bought it from them at a great price. And we got an almost new van. And on the backside, they will always warranty their products, you know, their cars, trucks, vans, whatever, to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they know they're selling you good quality things, and they will take care of you. And in fact, not just if there's a problem, but they will actively, I mean, at least they did for me. Calvin, our sales guy, I remember so vividly, he called me 6 months after we bought the van. And I'm like, why are we already, what more do you want? We already bought a car, you know? And he's like, no, no, no. I just want to make sure everything's working okay. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Weirdo. That was kind of my reaction, honestly. And then a year after we bought it, Calvin called me again. And he's like, is there anything wrong with the car? And I'm like, well, one of the keys, you know, the physical key doesn't work, which we never use. And we use it when we go paddleboarding, honestly. It's the only time. And we got one. And it's good enough. You know, don't want to take the fob out in the water kind of thing. Anyway, and he's like, well, bring it in. We'll replace it. I'm like, I bet you we'll replace it for $150 that I didn't want to spend. He's like, no. And I didn't say that. I'm not rude. I just said, oh, how much will it cost? And he said, nothing. You got a car expecting two keys. You get a car with two keys. So I brought it in. It took about 10 minutes. They cut me a new key, and I was done. A year after we bought the car from a used car dealer. Who does this? Well, Frontier does. So when I say Frontier Motors have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risks. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap. It makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full-service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought it was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident, restoration is guaranteed, or your money back. Isn't it nice to have someone like that on your side? Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to DataRevs.com, winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support. DataRevs.com.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
What is the first rule of any game, Mr. Green?
The only way to get smarter is by playing a smarter opponent.
What's rule 2 of any game?
The more sophisticated the game, the more sophisticated the opponent.
So, really interesting story from yesterday. It's big national news. The Department of Justice, the Trump Department of Justice, has secured an indictment from a grand jury against the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, that is different from the Department of Justice just going after them on their own. Getting a grand jury, right, means you've presented enough evidence to presumptively pursue an actual case against somebody. And in this case, the case is crazy. So, if you're not familiar with the Southern Poverty Law Center, they're a very well-known organization that purports to root out, you know, racism and bigotry and bias, and they're always naming different organizations as representing adversity to human rights, particularly minority rights, religious minority rights. In some ways, they're sort of similar to the ACLU, but in other ways not. They're the ones that are always saying, you know, this organization is racist, this organization is a white supremacist. That's kind of the SPLC's way of operating. Well, here's what the allegation says they did, is in the interest of pursuing their agenda, they recruited a bunch of people who were in these organizations, or they got undercover folks to go purport to be racists and, you know, kind of almost terrorists to go be part of, like, the Klan. And they paid these people an enormous amount of money over the course of the last several years, like $3 million, according to the indictment, to go not just report back and give them tips so that they can teach people what's going on in the United Klans of America or Unite the Right or the National Alliance or the National Socialist Movement or Aryan Nations. They actually paid them to do things like participate in cross burnings or create rides for people to come to the protest rallies like Unite the Right and like the Charleston rally, I think, if I read this all right. Yeah, Charlottesville, excuse me. Like the 2017 one that involved all the horrible things that went on there. Like, that they have not only been involved in sending spies in and paying them to be spies, but in actually getting activists to go in and gin up incidents of racism and make the problem look worse than it really is by kind of fostering it and then, you know, fundraising on the backside in order to, hey, look at how bad things are. You got to donate money to us. By the way, we're using your money through a whole bunch of shell accounts in order to pay these people so that nobody knows we're doing this. My God, what a crazy story. And, you know, it's a wild story, and they deny it entirely, but I've got some of the details here in a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Traffic's brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Take a look at the big board. Front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Central Avenue now. And scrolling over to Milton, still dealing with that vehicle crash, US 90 at Lori Lane in Milton, no roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that, PJ. So anyway, the indictment, again, this is a, you know, four-person from a grand jury indictment. This is not just the Department of Justice doing its own thing. They went to a grand jury and they asked them. But the indictment against Southern Poverty Law Center is that, well, here, I'll read from it. Between at least 2014 and 2023, the SPLC and their FS, which is their people, their informants or their activists, in a clandestine manner, doing so hid the fact that while the SPLC received donation money under the auspices that the funds would be used to dismantle violent extremist groups, this donation money was instead being used in part by the SPLC to pay leaders and others within these same violent extremist groups. That money was then used for the benefit of the individuals as well as the violent extremist groups. They secretly funneled more than $3 million over the course of 9 years to this. Examples of FFs who were secretly paid by the SPLC include but are not limited to the following. F-37, these are all unnamed people, was a member of the online leadership chat group that planned the 2017 Unite the Right event in Charlottesville, Virginia, and attended the event at the direction of the SPLC. F-37 made racist postings under the supervision of the SPLC, so actively fostering racism, and helped coordinate transportation to the event for several attendees. During 8 years, they secretly paid F-37 more than $270,000. F-9, another person, affiliated with the neo-Nazi organization, the National Alliance, and served as an F for the SPLC for more than 20 years. F-9's activities included fundraising for the National Alliance. Between 14 and 23, the SPLC secretly paid him $1 million. This person broke into the headquarters, stole documents, 25 boxes of documents, came back out with them, went back in with them and placed them back, and then they paid somebody else to take the fall for the theft. That, you know, how did these documents get disclosed? F. Unknown was the Imperial Wizard of the United Clans of America and all eight of their members. In an article published in November of 2013, the SPLC described the group as a millennial reboot of what was once a serious domestic threat. And then they talk about its prime being responsible for the 16th Street bombing in Birmingham. F-27 was reported as an officer in the National Socialist Movement and the Aryan Nations-affiliated Sadistic Souls Motorcycle Club, paid $300,000. This is crazy. Absolutely crazy. One person was involved as a felon for his participation in a cross-burning, and they paid that person $19,000. Again, this is the allegation, which the grand jury thought was significant enough. Now, the SPLC has denied it. The SPLC says this is outrageous and ridiculous and crazy. The program is now defunct. But, you know, time will tell. 629 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Iran's Revolutionary Guard says it seized two cargo ships in the Strait of Hormuz this morning. NBC News says ship tracking data appears to confirm that those vessels are now off of the Iranian coast. A third ship was also fired on and is stranded on Iranian shores. Of course, this coming after President Trump extended the ceasefire until Iran's leaders can come up with a unified proposal.
Yeah, he basically said yesterday that, you know, I don't know who's in charge in Iran and they don't know who's in charge in Iran. And so I don't want to get back to warring with them if they might be interested in peace, essentially. You know, let's give them some time. So the deadline for today has basically been waived until further notice.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Virginia voters approving an overhaul of congressional districts that could give Democrats up to four seats in the midterms.
Democrats currently hold six of Virginia's 11 congressional districts. President Trump urged voters to reject it, calling it an unconstitutional power grab, while supporters, including Democratic Virginia Governor Abigail Spanberger, argue they're doing what they need to do to level the playing field after GOP-led redistricting in other states.
As Fox's Kristen Goodwin, ceasefire extended indefinitely.
President Trump wrote on Truth Social, quote, based on the fact that the government of Iran is seriously fractured, not unexpectedly, we have been asked to hold our attack on the country of Iran until such time as their leaders and representatives can come up with a unified proposal.
Fox's Christina Coleman, Iran's Revolutionary Guard has since attacked three ships in the Strait of Hormuz. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 64 degrees with partly cloudy skies this morning. We'll get to a full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, the proposed high-rise development at Pensacola's Community Maritime Park hit a formal roadblock. The city's Community Redevelopment Agency sent a letter declaring the developer's $58 million tax break application invalid. Not just unsupported, but technically invalid because it requested abatements on taxes the city cannot give away. Mayor D.C. Reeves making that distinction at yesterday's press conference.
The formal request of the $2.9 million over 20 years included, it didn't parse out live local and what that would be, and it also included things like school taxes and things that we legally don't have the right to give. So it's not that we're trying to be nitpicky about it, it's that We're asking to be, we are paying an outside company to do a formal analysis of, you know, Lambert, as they do, a formal analysis of this, of this request. Well, they can't really do a formal analysis of the request because the numbers aren't adding up. So
the developer, Harold Dawson's team, has been invited to reapply with corrected numbers. The mayor said he does have a meeting scheduled with Dawson. The proposed project is a 13-story building that would have about 140 hotel rooms, 49 condos, 99 live local affordable units, and 99 market rate apartments. University of West Florida students could be paying higher athletic fees to help fund the school's move to D1 sports. The Board of Trustees is set to vote this week on raising the student athletic fee from $21 to $23 per credit hour, adding about $30 a semester for full-time students. The increase was developed with input from a committee with at least half its members appointed by the Student Government Association. UWF President Manny Diaz says the D1 transition is being approached with fiscal responsibility and will not impact academic programs. Well, what started as a call about a shooting at Oakwood Terrace Apartments grew into a complex investigation involving at least six people with firearms, three of them now in custody. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons says the case is far from closed.
Our investigators did a really good job of piecing this, what is going to end up being a very complicated ordeal. But we ended up arresting three people. All three of them were arrested for attempted murder because they're trying to kill each other. Although we believe there were as many as six people with firearms or long guns at the time. And their investigation continues, and we believe that we will. We have a lot of confidence that we will make more arrests in this case.
And Sheriff Simmons says video evidence is still being reviewed, and he believes additional arrests will be made. It's 6:34 here at News Radio 92.3. The National Work Zone Awareness Week is hitting close to home in Escambia County this year. Last month, a semi-truck plowed through an I-10 construction zone, destroying an electronic sign, and then a worker on Beulah Road was injured when he was hit by a truck. FDOT is deploying new safety technology in work zones statewide, including LIDAR sensors, radar cameras, and wearable alert devices to warn workers of approaching vehicles. At 6:35, now let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Take a next step forward in your career with Progressive Insurance. With great benefits and award-winning workplace, apply at careers.progressive.com. Taking a look at the big board, the front gate of NS Pensacola is backed up to Interbay Avenue, so things are improving there. Also scrolling over to Milton, still dealing with that vehicle crash, US 90 at Laurie Lane. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing some clouds today with a 30% chance of some afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 63. For Thursday, partly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain. High near 79. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Friday, partly cloudy skies. 20% chance of rain. High near 78 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
64 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. More leadership changes on Wall Street. Best Buy said the company veteran Jason Bonfig will succeed Corey Barry as the retailer's CEO starting October 31st. Taking over as the company tries to break a run of stagnant sales. Bonfig is Chief Customer Product and Fulfillment Officer and rose through the ranks after joining the retailer as an inventory analyst in 1999. President Trump's nominee to chair the Federal Reserve said he never promised the White House that he would cut interest rates, even as the president renewed his calls for the central bank to do so. Kevin Warsh said during the Senate Banking Committee that, quote, the president never once asked me to commit to any interest rate decision, period. Treasury yields were broadly flat this morning after President Trump announced an indefinite extension to the ceasefire with Iran. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note was largely flat at 4.297%. Futures are moderately higher after President Trump extended the ceasefire with Iran. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost. That's Your Money Now.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live, or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Any questions, comments from the board on this?
I just want to make sure everybody understands this is the one, this is a neighborhood that had the interconnectivity issue with Ibis Road. This is, I want to make sure everybody on Ibis Road understands that this is nothing to do with that, that that interconnectivity has actually been squashed, and I guess we're probably about to be planting trees in that,
correct,
in that connection, okay, zone.
And to be clear, the final plat's been approved. It does not include any connection to Ibis Road.
So this is Kerry Smith, County Commissioner Kerry Smith, and Jared Lowe, the Assistant County Administrator, in the Santa Rosa County Commission committee meeting yesterday. That's like the agenda review for their Thursday meeting tomorrow. And it's McCara Ridge, which is that subdivision on the east side of the dead-end streets like Ibis Road that goes in through like Trump Way on the north. And remember, the controversy here was that originally the plan, or say something wrong, but there was a push to have it open and be part of the grid. The residents were furious about that, and it wound up not happening. And I appreciate Kerry Smith clarifying that, because it is the kind of thing where people hear a thing and they're like, oh, what's going to, you know, and it all. So I'm glad for that. Joining us now, we have Brad Baker. He is the county administrator for Santa Rosa County. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. I know the commissioners often lament the misrepresentation of things that they do through social media, and I agree, it often is. But I like the effort to try to clarify, even especially some of these consent items that are just simple. But you just want to make sure people understand what's going on in the government. I think you know, opportunity to teach people is a good thing. I do have a question, because this made me think about it, is when the county takes over, for example, the maintenance of the sidewalks and the roads and the drainage ponds inside a subdivision that just gets built, there's been a problem historically in both counties, and I'm sure across the United States, of, you know, things were built maybe okay in the beginning, maybe not okay in the beginning, but then they were allowed to sort of lapse in their maintenance. And then the county swoops in and takes it over when, let's say, you know, the HOA becomes defunct or whatever. But you guys have rules that say it has to be at or above county standards in order for us to take it over, right?
That is correct. And they have to provide us a 2-year warranty period as well.
Oh, okay. Very good. So that's extra on top of just that it has to be at standards. And so, and the only reason I ask this is because obviously when you build a subdivision, you impose upon the county, if the county takes over maintenance of the road, the, you know, bridge, the sidewalk, and the retention pond or whatever, you're imposing upon the county costs for a long time, but you're also generating property tax revenue too, so there's the idea is it's being paid for at the same time, right?
It is, and also that is an option that the board has. The board doesn't have to accept the maintenance of that infrastructure. The recent changes on the final plat now is those do not go through the Board of County Commissioners. They have to be approved administratively if they meet our land development code. So that's why you used to see approval of the final plats. Now that's done administratively through our county engineer, and then we just notify the board that it's been approved. But the acceptance of maintenance of the infrastructure is a board action, because the board is actually saying, yeah, we recognize this is going to be a public subdivision, and we agree to take accept that infrastructure and then maintain it after the warranty period. So the final plat approval is administrative, not the board, but the acceptance of that is a board action.
Interesting. No, and I'm glad you brought that up, because people may remember that we talked about this when the legislation was going through, that suddenly now the board doesn't even have final say in the plats. That gets done, as you said, by, you know, staff. But because of that, or at least it's fair that if, you know, you're forced to accept the final platting as long as it follows the rules, then the acceptance of the final subdivision maintenance is something they could say no to if they wanted to, which, again, kind of makes sense. But that never happens, right? I mean, new subdivisions always get acquired, right? Or maybe are there ever even things that have to be done to improve them, to get them up to standards?
Yeah, we've had several issues they've had to do some improvement before. We've also recently had an influx of older subdivisions that wanted us to take over their infrastructure.
Yes.
And
yes,
we have done the inspections and given them a checklist. You know, hey, here's you a to-do list. If you want us to bring it to the board, all this has to be done. And most of them are pretty intensive. Like one was the asphalt was not, the base was not deep enough. You know, we did some core samplings, and they would basically have to rebuild the roads. So, wow. You know, we'll apply an MSBU and do that and then take it over, but it's going to be at the cost of those, because they, you know, that that subdivision was private, and we were not going to absorb the future costs on all the taxpayers of the county. So they would have to bring it up to our standard and before we take it.
And like you say, if it's, you know, you'll put an MSBU on those property owners to pay for, you know, in arrears, basically, for the repairs that have to be done if the county's going to do the repair. Yeah, no, and all of that makes sense. And it's one of the things people who live in, you know, private communities, private road, gated communities, all that might not think about, but there are definite costs, you know, long term if you opt for that. But anyway, I thought that not just what's going on in McCabe Ridge, but that general concept was interesting to me. I wanted to bring it up with you. Just a real quick thing, because Wes Moreno, our county administrator in Escambia, has many times mentioned that if you look at the number of new subdivisions, again, new roads, new sidewalks, and new ponds that the county is required to maintain because we've taken ownership of them as they get built, and compare that with the lack of growth in staff and budgeting for public works, we've really taken on a lot of stuff, and we haven't acquired proportionally more staff and expenditure in order to take care of those. Is that similar in Santa Rosa County, that same problem is true, or have you increased proportional to the amount of work?
No, it is true. Now, I will tell you one thing we did to kind of offset that. We did a bid last year for maintenance of some stormwater ponds. We did it by region.
Yeah, north and south, right?
We got some pretty good responsive bids, and that has proven very beneficial, because there was, you know, these subdivisions who expect a higher level of service that, you know, we may get to a pond once a year, once every 2 years. Now we're getting them cut four times a year and getting them inspected. And nice. Then they notify us that their issue, and our crew goes out there and works on solving, you know, if it's an erosion problem or whatever. So we found that very beneficial. And by the time you add in cost of hiring somebody, mm-hmm. health insurance, retirement for a whole crew, we did a cost-benefit analysis, and it was more advantageous for us to bid that out. So.
Higher service at less cost to the taxpayer. I love that. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Hang on for just a second, Brad. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, US 90 at Lori Lane in Milton. They're saying the roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Brad Baker. Brad, one of the things that they're going to vote on final submission of is the local option sales tax 0.5% renewal language for a Thursday. And I know there's been, you know, I know that several public speakers, and most notably Jerry Cooey, has raised the point that if you're worried about getting this passed, make it for one thing, make it for roads. It's not for just roads. It's for roads and conservation and stormwater. And there's a couple of things that are put in there. I've heard conversation around this quite a bit, but how did we get to the point where it's not just roads, it's everything? Is that just sort of you talking to the commissioners, you talking to the chairman? Like, how does that decision get made? Because I don't remember a decision like that explicitly being made in the boardroom.
So the current half cent contains all of these. Obviously, we put in the farmland was not direct wording, but the way our previous wording was allowed conservation, whether it was farmland or wetlands or whatever. So it dates back to the original half cent.
Okay.
And do we change it or not? Well, if you have a substantial change, you have to go through an OPAGA audit. And we went through one of those the last time we did it, didn't have any issues, but it's very cumbersome and time consuming, and you have to meet certain deadlines. So the board has the ability to set the percentages that go to it. So in our discussions, we Trust for Public Land came in and did a polling
right.
throughout the county, did actually a couple of them, and they polled, what's the chance the half cent will pass and what's the people really want in it. So based off the polling data, this is what the people say they want that were polled in our county. So and to not change it drastically, it doesn't mean that, like, currently right now, 60% of the half cent, which expires December of this year, December 31st, goes to roads, and then 30% goes to public safety, and 10% goes to recreation, conservation, et cetera.
Did you say 60-30-10? Is that what you said, 60-30-10?
60-30-10.
Okay.
That's right. So the board can change that at any time as long as they don't put specific percentages into the ballot language. So
I got it. Okay.
There's nothing in here that says that this can't be the board, if it's approved by the voters, can't use 100% of it for roads.
Gotcha.
It just allows it to be used for this other stuff as well, which the polling data says the people won't. So I understand that Jerry wants roads,
right,
but there's other people who have said, we want this. You know, in conservation, actually poll very high.
Got it.
We buy a lot of the, you saw an agenda item on here later on for a fire truck. We bought piles of fire trucks out of this, and then that keeps your fire tax or your fire fee lower because we're doing it with the sales tax. We've acquired ADA equipment at parks for this. I mean, we've done so many things, drainage projects, sheriff's department equipment. We've bought millions and millions of dollars of sheriff's department equipment out of it. So it's an ability to use revenue that's not totally generated by our citizens for all of these different portions. But ultimately, the board is going to determine what percentage of this goes to each pot or a pot at all. You know what I mean?
Right.
They could say, hey, we're not going to give the fire anything, and it's going to be this, or we're not going to do anything for conservation. It's going to all go to roads. So that allows the board to make that decision based on what their current needs are in the capital layout. And it does have to be capital outlay. It cannot be salaries, benefits, any of that. So.
And I think, on the flip side of that, I mean, just theoretically, I know this won't happen because it'd be political suicide to do it, but you could give zero to roads and give it all to the sheriff and fire and, water quality and land conservation. Sure. So, but I thought the two
highest polling ones, Andrew, came out as roads and conservation.
Oh, interesting. Even higher than public safety. That's fascinating. Okay. And I think the having to go through the study, the audit, if you were to substantially change the language is interesting. I didn't know that, and that explains why you'd keep this language. So fascinating. I appreciate that that insight. Highway 90, I know this is a tiny thing. It's really like a procedural change on a $500,000 spend dealing with FDOT and the TPO. But the item is the Highway 90 traffic signalization, and this is for technological upgrades. And I wanted to give you a second to explain this because for people who drive, and we, of course, do traffic reports all the time, but for people who drive on Highway 90, they may find this very interesting. What is the ultimate – what's going to happen when this does go through on Highway 90?
So ultimately, it will finalize all of the traffic signals to be on the advanced traffic signaling and the MIO vision. And what that allows us to do is control the timing of that remotely, where right now you have to, if the traffic light hasn't been upgraded, you have to manually go out there, adjust the timing and all that. Well, this could be adjusted on the fly. So like we have a have a wreck on I-10 that shuts it down and they divert all the traffic to 90 to go to Pensacola,
yep.
then we can start flushing it more. You can leave the highway 90 light time longer and let the side roads back up longer so we flush that interstate traffic out. So it's really, well, I mean, we should have done it decades ago, but
yeah.
We've finally evolved in investing in that. We've put over $2 million in the last 2 years into that infrastructure on 90 and 98. And this one just allows us to, you know, get some money back from that, from the state. And because it is their system. And then we just do the annual maintenance and upkeep of that, and they reimburse us for those costs. But we've done it on 98 and now finishing it up on 90. So we'll continue anytime there's a traffic light added, we'll continue to promote this. I mean, it's a good thing.
Absolutely.
When they get the transportation center built over in Escambia County, we'll have a traffic engineer over there to monitor and make real-time adjustments. You can do it remotely now. We use a vendor to do that, and we just have constant communication with them. So, yeah, it's exciting stuff. And you're right, it's kind of a bland little item in our thing, but
right.
it is pretty cool to make a difference in that. And we've been in discussion with the city of Milton and DOT because we're having issues along that Caroline Street corridor right with the bridge.
Of course, right.
And they're doing a timing study now to see what they need to adjust because it just backs up horrible. So I'm excited to, meet with Ed and DOT and see what we're going to do on that corridor as well.
No, I think it's great news. And as you say, this is all part of that Regional Traffic Management Center or the ATMS, the Advanced Traffic Management System, that is being built in Escambia County. It already runs a lot of the traffic lights in our area, but this is eventually going to run all the traffic lights in our area so that they can adapt to problems that crop up or, as you say, a unique situation and upgrading the technology so that you have the cameras and the remote operation capability on all those lights along Highway 90. I mean, again, like that's why I wanted to bring it up because I think this is a really good thing. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County. Sorry, Brad, I'm just completely out of time. But Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, as always, man, thank you so much for the time and clarifying some of that stuff. I really appreciate it.
All right, Andrew. Have a good day.
You too. PJ's got traffic on the five, speaking of.
Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash, US 90 at Lori Lane in Milton. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware's your place. If you build things only when you absolutely have to after you've already delayed what your wife was asking you to do for 6 months or your husband was asking you for, maybe the woman's the one who builds stuff. It doesn't matter. Pensacola Hardware's your place. They are your place for expert advice, expert materials, whether you build things for a living or whether you just do it with like a sense of dread, they're there. They understand that. They're your commercial construction supply business for 175 years. Helping people build Pensacola and rebuild Pensacola. They do special orders all the time for folks for specified products. The engineer, the architect comes up with some unique solution to some unique problem. Or if you have a problem and you're not sure how to solve it, they're there for you. They've been helping people solve these. They know the building codes. They probably know the inspectors. And they do know many of them. And they can really help you solve it. Plus, if you build things for a living, they can put you on a monthly plan. You don't have to send Jim down with the credit card to buy stuff. I mean, just talk to them. And if you've never been there, just, test me, okay? Go in and ask for Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and just say, Andrew says you can help me. How? And then let them say what they're going to say, and then you be the judge, right? But since 1851, Pensacola Hardware has been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you believe the destination is the journey, you'll love exploring in our new 2026 Subaru models, like the all-new 2026 Outback, strikingly redesigned with sharp lines and more edge, and now with financing as low as 3.9% for an amazing 75 months. Or how about the roomy Subaru Crosstrek or the family-sized Descent? Finance either one for 2.9% for 75 months. And the long-lasting and capable Subaru Forester. Drive one home for only 1.9% for 75 months. All come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take on every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Crosstrek, Ascent, and Forester. Love is out there. Find it in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you. Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You don't need another money hack.
You need a plan.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
Good morning, 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. I wouldn't put David in the position of forcing him to get a headline in the last 10 seconds, but I will tell you that the ongoing project to read the entire Bible this week involved President Trump last night. He did read the passage from 2 Corinthians. We'll talk about that coming up next. Plus, Mayor D.C. Reeves will join us at 7:35. Lots of things to get to with him. Stick around.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.